Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a swung pad in Ableton Live 12 for Jungle and Old School DNB, but we're doing it the smart way, so it feels alive without eating up headroom. The whole idea is simple. We want movement, vibe, and groove, but we do not want the pad fighting your kick, snare, or sub. In drum and bass, that matters a lot, because the rhythm section is already doing so much work. If the pad gets too big, too wide, or too loud, the whole track can lose punch. So instead of just leaving the synth running and hoping for the best, we're going to shape the pad, swing it a little, control its level, and then resample it to audio. That gives us a cleaner, more flexible texture we can chop, trim, filter, and arrange like a proper jungle layer. First, set up a basic loop so you can hear the pad in context. Don't design it in isolation. That's a classic beginner mistake. Put down a breakbeat, a snare on 2 and 4, and a simple sub or respace. Keep it around 172 BPM if you want that classic jungle and old school feel. Now add a pad instrument. Waveatable is a great place to start, but analog works too. You do not need a huge lush chord stack here. In fact, simpler is better. Try a minor chord or even a two-note voicing. In DNB, a pad often works best when it supports the atmosphere instead of announcing itself. For the sound itself, start with something warm and slightly dark. A saw or triangle wave is a good bass. If you want more body, layer in a second oscillator and detune it a little. Then use a low-pass filter so the pad stays tucked back. You're aiming for a tone that feels moody, not shiny. At this point, keep an ear on the low end. Pads can secretly be huge down there, especially if they have stereo whitening or extra warmth. So before you do anything fancy, add utility and trim the gain. If the pad is still too thick, add a Q8 and high pass at somewhere around 120 to 200 HE, depending on the sound. If it's crowding the bass line, go a little higher. Now let's give it swing. This is where the groove starts to feel like jungle instead of a straight grid. You can use the groove pool or slightly nudge note timing by hand. The key is to keep it subtle. A tiny late feel is usually enough. You do not want the pad so late that it sounds lazy in a bad way. You want it leaning into the beat, almost like it's following the break with attitude. A good beginner move is to apply a subtle swing groove and then back the amount off until it feels natural. If it starts sounding too housey or too obvious, it's too much. For this style, you're usually after something around that soft 54 to 58% swing feel, but always trust your ears over the number. Also, shorten a note here and there. Sometimes the real groove comes more from note length than timing alone. A pad can feel swingy without sounding obviously off-grid. That tiny combination of a slight timing shift and a slightly shorter release can make a huge difference. Before we print anything, shape a little movement into the sound. Maybe automate the filter cutoff so it opens a bit over the second half of the phrase. Maybe add a touch more reverb at the end of the two bars. Keep it subtle. We are not making a lead synth. We are making a texture that breathes. And here's a really important teacher tip. Compare the pad with and without the bass playing. A pad can sound gorgeous on its own and still wreck the track once the sub comes in. So always test it in the full context. If the bass loses authority, the pad probably needs less low-mid energy, less width, or less level. Now comes the key move. Resample it. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, arm it, and record at least 2 to 4 bars of the pad while the loop plays. This is where the sound becomes more like sample material. It locks in the groove, locks in the movement, and gives you a waveform you can edit directly. Why is that useful? Because audio is easier to control in a dense DNB arrangement. You can trim it, cut it, reverse it, or slice it without constantly tweaking the synth. And in drum and bass, speed matters. Once the idea is good, printing it to audio helps you move faster. After recording, clean up the clip, trim the start and end, add short fades so you don't get clicks, and mute or disable the original instrument track while you work on the resampled version. If the pad still feels too big, don't just pull the track fader down. Try reducing clip gain, or use utility before EQ so you're trimming the signal earlier in the chain. That's often the cleaner move. Now treat the resampled pad like jungle material. You can slice it at bar lines, move one slice slightly late, or cut a little tail and reverse it for a transition. Even tiny edits can make it feel much more alive. If you want a more old-school sampled vibe, try sliced a new MIDI track and trigger the pieces like chops. This is where the pad stops beating wallpaper and starts becoming part of the arrangement. For example, you might keep the full pad in the intro, chop it in the build, mute it in the drop for a moment, Then bring it back as a ghost lair after the snare hits. That kind of call and response is perfect for jungle and old school DNB. Now clean up the resampled audio. Put a Q8 on it and high pass again if needed. If the mix feels cloudy, dip a little in the 250 to 500 HC range. If it's harsh, soften a little around 2 to 5K HC. Then use utility to check the width. Wide pads can sound huge in headphones, but they can get messy in a club mix. A slightly narrower pad often feels heavier, because it leaves more space for the drums, rides, and bass to own the sides and center. If needed, add very light compression just to tame peaks. Nothing aggressive. You only want a couple dB of gain reduction at most. The goal here is control, not flattening. Now think arrangement. Pads should support a phrase, not run forever without change. In the intro, let the pad be full and atmospheric. In the pre-drop or build, chop it or brighten it a little with automation. In the drop, reduce it or mute it briefly so the drums and bass can hit harder. Then bring it back in the breakdown with more reverb or a reverse tail, if you want that tension and release feel. That push and pull is a huge part of drum and bass energy. The track breathes because elements come and go. The pad should help that, not sit there unchanged for 8 minutes. A few quick troubleshooting notes before we wrap up. If the pad still feels too huge after resampling, lower the clip gain rather than just the mixer fader. If it feels too relaxed, reduce the swing amount or tighten the note length. If it sounds great solo but muddies the bass, cut more low mids. And if it feels too polished, try resampling with a little delay, chorus, or reverb printed in so it has more of that dusty, sample jungle character. If you want to take this further, try a ghost layer. Duplicate the pad, make the copy much quieter, and offset it by a few milliseconds. That can create a subtle push without needing another full synth part. Or make one clean version and one chopped version, and use them in different sections. So here is the big takeaway. Twing the pad subtly, keep the low end under control, resample it to audio, and then edit it like a sample. That gives you movement, atmosphere, and groove without losing headroom. In jungle and old school DNB, that's exactly the kind of texture that makes a loop feel alive. Now it's your turn. Build a simple 172 BPM loop. Make one dark swan pad. Print it to audio, and see how much more natural it feels once you start treating it like part of the arrangement instead of just another synth track.